And welcome everyone to another special episode of All Things Trek. That has nothing to do with Star Trek. I'm Oren, and I am joined by my dearest Lillian.
Hello.
And George, aka Chooch99. And George, people might know you as the creator of the Starfinder audio drama.
Yes, Star Trek Starfinder, USSstarfinder.com. It's a Star Trek Online-based audio drama. And I also just put out a graphic novel. And so check it out. So, yeah.
I believe I am playing a some sort of Gorn in the next episode.
Yeah, didn't you do some lines for episode 3, Gorn of a Different Color, I believe?
I did. I'm some sort of Gorn subspecies. I didn't have time to read the entire script, but
That would spoil it to get too much into it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
all right. So, this is an episode about the first episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, which was creatively enough named Pilot, because apparently that's just how they do now. Spoiler
Was that
tip.
the episode name?
Yeah, it's just called Pilot. And it's spoilerific, because this is an analysis, not just a review. So we're assuming you've seen it. So if you haven't, pause this and go watch it. It's available on ABC's website if you want to watch it legit. Which is how I did it. So go watch it. We'll wait. All right. I'm assuming you've come back after having watched it. So, George, since you're the guest here, first impressions.
It was very good for what they were trying to accomplish. They have the characters were a bit dry, but they weren't terrible. They fit an archetype, as I would call it. And I mean, I had no problems with it. It was one of those things where if you're going to throw together a spin-off series from a movie to a TV, they did a great job, and the production value was top-notch. Story-wise, script, everything was great. The only thing I had a problem with was the characters. I think that they're kind of boring. I think they could be better, but they're not horrible at the same time. So
Okay.
I think Coulson carried the whole show. But other than that, I do see potential.
All right, well, Lillian, what was your first impressions?
I feel like I really need to see more of the show. Right now, it seems so like they're showing off a lot. They're like, look, we got all the people and they're so cool and they're really good at all these little gadgets, and like all the characters are being overly excited
I
because
agree.
yeah,
That's a good note.
it's gonna be like at least until the next episode that I'll be able to really say if this is going to be good or just
You
excitable.
guys, you guys, you're being all you're being all like careful and not wanting to put your
All right,
foot
I'll
in your
say it.
mouth. It's time
Joss
to
Whedon. Let me ask you this: do either one of you guys were you previous Whedonist fans like Buffy, Angel?
All right, well, I suppose we should give our backgrounds for this. As far as television shows go,
Oren's
I'm
a huge fan.
sort of. I'm on and off with Whedon. Like, I didn't much care for Buffy. I'm so far okay with Angel, but I'm only about a season in. I'm actually watching it right now.
About you?
And I'm a, obviously I love Firefly. Everybody loves Firefly.
Yeah, I haven't seen Firefly. That's the thing. I'm gonna be the outcast. Every sci-fi geek loves Firefly, and I'm that one guy who he was so overhyped, it turned me off. It was like Friends.
Yeah.
It's
Remember when
cool. We
Friends was
actually.
on? Remember when Friends was on? Everybody was watching it, and they were all like, "You gotta watch the next episode. Phoebe does this or whatever." I didn't watch it because of how much it was hyped. It turned me off. I did the same thing with Firefly.
Yeah.
We know a guy who legitimately hates Firefly, but it's mainly because he holds it against it that it was cut off too short. He's all about long stories, and so when it ended, somehow he's just
Nice.
like, "Nope, it's not good enough for me."
Well, and
See, that's not their fault,
you know,
though.
certainly if you listen to the way some people talk about Firefly, you would expect to turn on the television show and be like, ascended directly to heaven. But it's, I mean, it's a show, right? It's not going to be as good as everyone's been saying.
Concept was great. I just couldn't get it. The only reason I didn't watch it was because at the time it was on the air, so I can't remember. I was just so busy with stuff going on off, in real life. But and then when everybody kept over exaggerating how cultish, like you have to watch it. This is it. This is godlike. And if you said anything bad about it, you were a complete ass. I couldn't. I purposely turned off my mind to wanting to get into it. Same with Stargate, because of that very. Sci-fi fans I'm one of them, but the problem is when you over-importantize, I don't even know if that's a word. If you over-importantize something, okay, if you over-hype something, is that better?
Yes.
If you over-hype something, I won't tune in because you're making it too much of a thing where it's like, I want to watch it because I want to watch it. I don't want you to force me to feel like I have to watch it or else I'm a jackass.
Right,
and that's why that's how I felt about Firefly and about Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been wanting to watch Firefly because of how much all my friends love it. But it's been very much one of those things. I'm like a cat. It's like you got to let me do it on my own terms. You can't say you got to do it. And that's the only reason why I haven't done it. So I want to see it, though.
Well, the long and short of this is that Joss Whedon's projects have been hit or miss for me. Like, some of them hit really hard and some of them missed really hard. But, all right, so this... And I don't have a big background in Marvel comics. Like, I was mainly interested in this show because...
I can help you with that.
Yeah, because I've seen the Avengers movie. So, and I really, really liked the Avengers movie. And I was interested to see what Joss Whedon would do with another television show. All right. So, with that background aside, I would like to talk about the cast, since we were briefly mentioning them earlier. Why don't we go ahead? I'll go ahead and start at the bottom of my list, actually. We can save the best for last. And you guys were right. Obviously, that there's a lot of development that will hopefully occur later. But right now, I am not really sure what to make of Agent Ward. Like, I don't get him. I don't understand why he's on the team or what he brings to the show other than a straight man.
Lillian, ladies first.
You go first, actually. I got to collect my breath.
Real quick to preface this before I forget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I brought up the Whedon, I got sidetracked with the whole Firefly thing. Joss Whedon's shows take 2 or 3 episodes to really get rolling when it comes to the characters getting you rolled in, drawn into them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I have faith. It's been consistent. If you watch, you didn't like Buffy, but you liked Angel. If you did get into Buffy and you did get into Angel, one of the things you might notice is Whedon is good at he does take a couple of, he puts so many characters into any of his things that it does take 2 or 3 episodes before you really start to feel where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it, for that reason, most Whedon fans are, you know, if you check out the comments on all the whatever websites, it takes 2 or 3 episodes before you can judge the whole Scooby Gang type role or whatever group it is as a group and figure them out, whether it's working or not. So I'm gonna disposition that with, okay, I'm gonna wait a couple episodes before I really judge it. Now, going back to Ward, like you were talking about, that character, I'm glad you brought him up. I don't like him, but I think he has potential to be like Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I see Angel with the Whedon comparison, with when he made these characters. I don't know how much he was involved. He says he's heavily involved in this, but, you know, who knows. He reminds me of Angel.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember in the first episode of Angel, compared to where it ended up by the end, all right?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Because Angel spun off from Buffy, so, but this is different. This spun off from the Avengers, but they brought in a new lead. And they had to make a first impression. He reminds me so much of Angel in terms of how he tried to dominate the screen right away, and he was the first scene. You know, they were trying to make him like, this is the guy you got to watch. He's the lead, and they were trying to make him so cool, you know, right from the beginning. And I think they tried a little too hard, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think he's got potential, but I think he only works the way he plays off of Sky, played by Chloe Bennett. I think that when you see the two of them together, I feel, my impression is that over the next few episodes, they are together, and how they play off each other is what's going to work, not him by himself.
I would be amazed if that doesn't turn into a romance. And I'm not saying that because I'm particularly looking forward to it. But I'm sure it will be one. I don't know. So far, just judging their performances in this episode, I did not like Ward even a little bit. Like, I found him to be annoying and, like, just completely straight-laced and way full of himself. And I don't...
But that's point I think they were trying to make. She's like a hippie type,
sure.
And he's like the straight laced suit, and it feels like they're being total opposites.
I just don't feel like I feel I like her okay, And maybe he'll loosen up. It was weird to me that they decided to put him on the team when they already had May, who is apparently, like, the world's biggest badass.
But she even that's the whole thing, the mystery behind why was she deaf. She was supposed to be so badass. She did something wrong we have yet to find out about.
I thought she just got scarred was the implication, that, like, some mission...
No, man, she did something she wasn't supposed to do, and they haven't revealed it yet.
Maybe, but she seemed to indicate that she liked being behind a desk. So I'm thinking that maybe it was that some mission went wrong. Speaking of which, let's talk about May. I really like May.
Are we moving on from Ward already?
Yeah, sure. I was going to say
Lillian, what do you want to talk about Ward?
Don't ask me to come on this show unless you're going to talk to me, all right?
I'm sorry. It was a segue. I saw a segue and I went for it. What do you want to talk about Ward?
Well, it's like, I actually can, like, I didn't really connect the dots, but I do see what you mean where he reminds me of Angel. Like, admittedly, when in Angel's own show, his first episode, I actually liked the fact that, like, he was playing stupid and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, I like that. In this, I'm not really that impressed with Ward. Like, Angel in Buffy, he irritated me so much. I hated him. And then when he had his own show, like, basically...
He grew.
He also, it's just the fact that the show actually was self-aware of the fact that he was extremely vain and kind of slow and not as deep and interesting as Buffy seems to think that he is.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciated that the show made fun of him continuously. Like, he was awesome, he was badass, but he had his flaws and he was kind of preposterous. You know, the whole, like, I'm a vampire, but I drive a convertible and I put, like, gel in my hair, which I can't see.
See, that's what I get from Ward. I get the fact that right now, from the first episode, we can't like him. We haven't learned enough. But I can see, you know, trusting in Joss, that's all I'm saying. A lot of fans are saying the same thing. That because of, if you know Joss Whedon, he seems superficial. But that's just your first impression. For growth, if it's done right, depending on how they take it.
Right now, I'm not feeling much humility out of it. I feel like he, like, I'm not sure if we're really going to get the same thing of, like, people teasing him for being so standoffish or anything like that. I feel like he is as, like, he's going to have to learn how to play well with others. Mm-hmm. But admittedly, right now, everybody just seems like such a caricature, and, like, I think the reason why I'm, like, I'm not going to judge them yet is that everybody just seems so excited and, like, not for any particularly good reason yet. It's just, like, there's all this energy.
The whole hero, the whole Battle of New York and the reveal of the hero existence coming out, and, you know, it's like, that to me feels like they're taking that excitement from the movie, the fact that that was the start of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, the world being aware instead of a secret, to translate it to TV to the audience. Like, and they're kind of cleaning up is how I look at it. Like, the world's aware now what do we do about it, you know?
Sure. I mean, and granted, like, one of the big things that happens, like, one of the, you know, the really good parts of the episode is when Coulson sticks Ward with the super truth serum and, like,
that was awesome,
you know, kind of takes him down a peg or two. So maybe that he will become a little bit self-aware. We'll see. At the moment, I don't like him, but I will concede that he could get better.
But, like she just pointed out, and I hadn't thought about that before, it's another point towards the Angel comparison. He was used to being a solo guy, like Angel was, mm-hmm. and now he's being forced to work with the team. And Angel also had a hard time, but he later conceded that he needs people, his mm-hmm. friends, like when he got into the whole, you know, like with Gunn and all of them, and he got into the whole group mindset versus doing everything by himself.
Right. All right. So I think we can move on from Ward. Am I gonna get yelled at again?
No.
Okay.
You acknowledge I existed. That's all I
have. That's good. Okay. So let's talk about Sky. I guess I even I actually.
Well, you were on Melinda May next.
Oh well. Okay. We can talk about May. I really like May. I like the actress Ming-Na Wen. I think I'm saying her name right.
Yep.
I liked her a lot back in Stargate Universe, and I was disappointed that she didn't get to do half the stuff I really wanted her to do. But I like May just because, like, May is just almost like tailor-made for me as far as the a character goes. Like, because she's like a lady who kicks butt, and that's some of my favorite kinds of characters. And she has like a mysterious, possibly tragic past, and she's kind of snarky and kind of deadpan. I also really liked Zoe for that reason.
And so, good looking. They're all good looking.
Yeah, and there's that too. And she's kind of non-traditional casting for that role because normally, like, the badass with a scarred past would be like a grizzled dude. So, you know, I kind of appreciate that the Whedon team is cool like that. And
they're Xena?
Hmm?
Xena was kind of like that. I was just saying.
What character are we talking about?
Xena.
Oh, Xena. Yeah, maybe. I haven't watched enough Xena to really know that for sure.
Okay.
But I, you know, I really like May so far. And she was kind of understated, whereas most of the other characters are very in your face. And I felt like she's something that with luck will kind of get teased out a little bit over the course of the, you know, over the course of the series. And hopefully we'll actually find out what her deal is and she won't be another Shepherd book, which is a reference you won't get because you didn't see Firefly. But one of these days. All right. So what did you think? What did you think of May?
She looks cool. She didn't get to say that much, but she looks cool.
That's true.
Like, I appreciate... Well, I don't know. Because everybody else is like, oh my god, look what I can do, and pulling out all the tricks out of their hat and explaining everything in detail, and she's just, like, grumpily being like, I refuse to tell my backstory. Don't want you guys to know me yet.
You don't get to know my backstory.
It's like, I guess there's potential. I can totally see why you love her.
Yeah.
Well, let's be fair. That fight, when she kicked that guy's butt on the roof there, whatever, that was impressive. She took him out quick. That was not just a standard, you know, drawn-out fight. She showed that she was holding back, and she was really, like, the same level as a Ward, but she had been pulled into a different role, you know, as far as what she was supposed to do. But she had the same skill set. I mean... If you want to talk skill sets, too, that's another subject, but that may not be on the table. But the whole what's your specialty seemed to be part of the show, too.
Right.
We don't know what her specialty is. She's got the spike role, if you ask me, except on the good side, on the good guy side.
Her specialty is being a badass.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. They kept her purposely, like, the mysterious badass. But yeah, she's on the good guy side. But she's being disciplined for something that happened when she was out in the field, like Ward was. Except something she did, she went too far. At least that's the impression I got. She went too far. But instead of kicking her out, they just put her into a pilot role or whatever. And she's kind of holding back and trying not to. But when she kicked that guy's butt, the impression I got was she was told, "Your character is like the equivalent of Batman or whoever out there, and it's like you're being pulled back and you're told you went too far and you got to be careful or you're out." And she's only using half of her skill, but even that half is like total badass.
Distinct possibility.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the impression I got.
Yeah. And I don't know. So far, I think that's a character I'm really going to like. We'll find out.
She's the one to watch.
Yeah. I have no idea what to think about Sky. Like,
I like her.
I don't dislike her. I don't dislike her, but I'm not sure if I like her or not yet. I suppose we'll find out. Lillian, what do you think about Sky?
She's kind of cute. Kind of spunky.
That's true.
Like, admittedly, none of the characters really jumped out and made me happy, like, to see them, except for dude that was dead, and immediately I was happy to see him because he's not dead. Yay!
well, that's the mystery, right? Let's talk about
it. Like, him, like, he's the nerdy guy that I really enjoy. Like, she kind of reminded me of Kaylee in a way. I'm sorry, it's Firefly reference again, but like.
Reminded me of Fred, actually.
Of Fred? That's the character from Angel, isn't it?
Kind of. I mean, Fred was so much more, like, so socially awkward. I loved her. Like, she was adorable and, you know, scarred and all twisted and broken. And in a lot of ways, I like a person being where it's...
scarred and broken, Lillian's type.
Yeah. They're the most fun. But she was just very... I don't know, like, she kind of confused me, I guess, because she seems so... Like, she's like... I'm not a fangirl, but she's really acting like a fangirl, and then, like, she's really serious about what she's doing. I mean, she's a threat to S.H.I.E.L.D., like, as a hacker and a person who's, like, informing the people. So I didn't really understand her character, like, having that extreme, like, fangirl type personality coupled with I'm dark and mysterious and fixing the world underneath in my van. Yeah. It's like, I think I would have understood the lines that she was saying better, like, if she had been more disheveled, like, actually living out of a van.
Yeah, she does look like she has a lot of time to, you know, get ready every day.
You do have a point. I mean, maybe she went too far with the makeup and the hair. If she was really living out of her van, you're right, she wouldn't look that good. She was too groomed.
I was trying to think of, like, you know, there's very, usually it's a guy character that would be playing the person who's, like, the conspiracy theorist who's working out of their van and really excited when they actually find, you know, the thing that they've been writing about. And it's like, yes, my conspiracy is true. Ha ha. It's like, usually they're, you know, the caffeine high, usually ginger, like, giant eyed crazy guys. Like, no, I can't remember.
Are you talking about the lone gunman from X-Files?
I was actually thinking about the guy who had, like, the trailer and was talking about the end of the world in the 2013.
Oh, okay, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, like, she seems similar to that character, whatever his name was.
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in her so far for the concept she represents than for her actual character. We'll talk about that when we get to the story.
She represents the person. She's like the Doctor Who companion, okay? She's like the audience's eyes bringing in.
Which is weird to have, like, a super hacker that's already all informed being our...
One thing that I did think was weird is that she also brings an obvious skill set to the team, which is...
But that's not totally unrealistic. But I think they're trying to make an analogy about today's skill set, about how the average person can learn... self-learn things on, you know, from doing online things.
No, I don't have a problem with her having that skill set. Her skill set is that she's really good with computers, right? What I don't understand is why the team didn't already have one of those. Like, did Coulson know that he was going to recruit
fact
her?
That they picked her because she had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. and no one had done that, so they were, I guess, leaving that slot open, I guess?
It also seemed like, I mean, she even says in the episode, like, what, you guys didn't beat me to figuring out about Centipede? Like, she's clearly better than all the people that they have. They have those people, they're just not as good as her.
I suppose, but I mean, they don't
But that's realistic. The police and the FBI hire hackers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not against her being good with computers, or even better with computers than S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, heaven knows we've seen plenty of instances of government agencies being fooled by people on crappy laptops, but it just seemed weird to me that the team did not have a computer specialist.
But think about this. In real life, they don't train people to be hackers like her. The people that become the natural hackers and the people that infiltrate the FBI and all those things, they do it on their own and they get caught. And then they get recruited by force, kind of, instead of going to jail. That's actually what happens.
I suppose. Right? It just seems like the team would have been assigned an electronics warfare agent.
Or I thought that they were there, just that they were in the background and not good enough to appear.
Like, I guess.
Right, they weren't assigned to that team that he put together at that time.
Yeah.
For the episode.
Maybe. Seemed a little convenient to me, is all. But, you know, I suppose that's how it...
It's just that they kept referring to the fact that they had people, so I assumed that there were people, it's just that none of them were worth actually talking to.
Yeah, we just see them in the forefront of the episode as far as being talked to.
No.
They were background people.
All right. Well, so then we have Fitzsimmons, which I thought was a pretty funny joke, because they're two people technically, but they almost could be one. So far, they're kind of like the platonic ideal of quirky scientists. It's like
aren't they brother and sister?
I don't think so.
I thought I read that, but I could be wrong.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
That's what I read, but I could be wrong. I'm not gonna sit there and Google right now, but, you know, I thought I read that.
That would explain their weird chemistry that they've got going on. Because, like, right now, if you call down to the, like, the person-making plant and ask for a pair of quirky scientists, this is who you'd get.
Well, actually, they have two different last names. I don't know if they're brothers or sister. They just seem like they're...
Well, she could be married.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, good point.
We'll never... I assume we'll find out later. I don't think they are, but that would be cool. They kind of remind me of the two scientists from Pacific Rim, actually.
Yeah, ditto.
It's like Pacific Rim kind of want their characters back.
Yeah, I did see that movie, so yeah, good analogy. They weren't necessarily one-upping one another, but they were, like, excited by each other's, and trying to kind of watch each other's back when it comes to going to, you know.
Well, I mean, they were less obnoxious than the characters in Pacific Rim, right. So they, you know,
I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Make your case, ma'am.
My case is that the people in Pacific Rim were, like, they were nerdy people, and they were clearly nerdy people, and so, like, they were kind of adorable when they actually functioned, where these guys are just hyper-functioning,
mm-hmm.
like, excited nerds. I mean, it's just...
Well, these were, like, nerds that knew the government. They were, like, indoctrinated into the group that they're in, which is S.H.I.E.L.D. in this case, and they knew that they had to watch each other's back as far as how far can you let this person go and get carried away before you get some trouble. And goes too far with the rules of what you're allowed to do, so that they kind of pull each other back a little bit, sort of watching out for each other. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, maybe. It's another case of, you know, we keep saying this, but we'll have to wait and see with these two, because hopefully they'll develop into something a little more interesting. Right now they just sort of have the, you know, the quirky back and forth tech talk, as it were.
They do seem conveniently a little, everybody seems like in the same age range. That seems a little weird.
Yeah.
That's TV.
The casting and the artistic direction right now makes everybody feel extremely vanilla. Like, I think that's part of the reason why I'm not hugely excited.
Yeah, they're all late 20s, early 30s, kind of.
Except May. May's cool. She's older.
Yeah, and she barely got...
Let's not forget that May is cool, is all I'm saying.
I'm not forgetting. I'm just saying that, like, I didn't go, like, oh, man, this is so cool. I can't wait to learn about these people, because it's just, like...
Yeah, see... Someone pointed out once when the program was about to start, someone pointed out it from an early review for Comic-Con, you know, they loved the episode, but they're like, one of the things that they judged it by was, I don't remember any of the characters' names, so that says something.
Yeah, that's true. If I hadn't done research, I probably wouldn't remember anyone except Coulson.
I'm pulling up the page in front of me to remember everybody. I got the picture and their name in front of me. Honestly, I don't know if I don't have them committed to memory yet, except for Melinda May and, like, Coulson. That's about it.
May I got down.
Yeah, probably. All right, so speaking of Coulson, let's talk about Coulson.
There's just so much to say, but go ahead.
I guess I'll go ahead and start. As we sort of alluded to, he's clearly the best character in this episode so far. He has gotten a lot more badass since the Avengers. Like... He's kind of a different character now, even. Like, he's not, you know, in the Avengers, he was portrayed, and in the previous films, he was portrayed as being this, not incompetent, but nothing, like, super special. He was just a guy who was around all the time, and we knew his name, and we knew he had hobbies and dreams. But now he's, like, he's almost Picard levels of being able to talk people down and negotiate, and he's never wrong. Like,
he's like Picard... Post-best of both worlds, right?
Well, maybe, but, I mean, he's gotten super negotiating powers from somewhere. Like, if this version of Coulson had been in the Avengers, movie would have lasted about half an hour, because he would have sat all the superheroes down and been like, all right, guys, stop acting like tiny babies. And,
well,
you
know. He's dealing with regular people in this one. He has to pull together. He looked up to, we already know he was a fanboy of Captain America, and, you know, his role with everybody else was to humbly get them in to join. He was a recruiter. In this episode, these are all S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, except for Skye, who he brings in. The rest of them are already in S.H.I.E.L.D., so he's their superior. It's a little bit different. I think that's why.
Maybe.
You know, what I'm really hoping, and... It's a stretch, I know, but what I'm really hoping, in the episode they allude to that, like, he doesn't know what really happened.
You're right.
And so, like, I'm hoping that he died and they brought him back, and Orin was saying, off screen, that he was upset at at why they would bring back this character in particular. And
oh, I am.
My hope is that it's not that he was special. It's not that they were like, this guy, we need to bring him back because he's so cool. I'm hoping they're like, we have a dead person and we got science. Let's see if we can bring him back,
well,
and make him better.
Maybe.
Josh Whedon, I just watched an interview because I was trying to prepare for this little discussion here. I was watching Joss Whedon talk to a woman about this very subject, about why they brought Coulson back. It's funny you mention that. And he said, and this is exactly what he said, well, not word for word, but paraphrased, he said, Joss Whedon said literally, they had no intention of bringing Coulson back. He was dead, as far as by the end of the Avengers, okay? The
yep.
only he said to the lady on the interview, the only reason they brought him back is because they were doing a S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, and they couldn't imagine doing it without Coulson. That's the only reason. I'm not to disillusion anybody, but that is exactly what he said. So he said, however, there's so many ways in the Marvel universe to bring him back that there was so much material that it's not just, you know, we just decided to bring him back and there's nothing cool about it. There's a story behind it. They just,
right.
they had to choose from a mine of all the material to do it with, and which what to use for what reason and why and what is the going on with him. However, the decision, as far as a decision to bring him back, only happened because they chose to do a S.H.I.E.L.D. television show.
Right.
That's
so,
it. If the S.H.I.E.L.D. television show had not happened, you would never have seen Coulson again.
Now, so since we're on the subject, I guess I'll explain what my beef is here, because I got a beef. All right, so just as a rule, I feel like if you kill a character, you shouldn't bring them back to life, because that
Welcome
makes...
to the comic universe. That's where you gotta...
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care that's how they do it in the comic universe. It's dumb in comics, it's dumb in here, too. Because every time you do it, it just cheapens the next time you kill somebody. Because we'll never actually be sure they're dead at this point.
Yeah.
And it makes death meaningless. And in this case, it's clear that they only did... I mean, even without that that interview with Whedon, it's clear
right.
that they did it because they needed that face to sell a S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Like, they didn't do this because they thought it would be good for the story. They did it because they needed a recognizable character from the Avengers to be in the S.H.I.E.L.D. series. I was really hoping it was going to be Nick Fury second in command, who I think
but they have so...
is Maria Hill.
They have so many ways that they can use...
Right.
This is a story arc, because do you know about the life model decoys?
Yes, I've heard of those. There's a bunch of other ways, and
yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that they didn't go with the Nick Fury faked his death, because I was worried that was going to be their explanation, and that would be stupid, but they didn't.
Well, somebody brought up, one of the many reviews of the show, they brought up an interesting, what if Coulson, from the beginning, was never a real person? What if he was... What if he always was some sort of an artificial intelligence, like a pre-Ultron, a pre-Vision, or a pre-Jarvis type of amalgamation, and he was just the next, version of them? But see, to me, that doesn't make sense as to why, when Maria Hill made that comment to that doctor, the guy from Firefly there, when she says something about, you know, he doesn't know or something like that, something about... You know, if he knew, it
right.
would be bad as to why he doesn't remember certain events. There's so many avenues that they can go from there. There's the obvious ones. I'd be disappointed if they use the obvious routes. It's like the life model decoy and the, whatever, is he a clone? That seems too obvious. But yeah, it could be true. It's consistent with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics. However, go ahead.
I was going to say, okay, so the thing about this that is never going to work for me is that whatever their explanation is for how they brought him back, because I'm sure they'll have one and it'll be sufficiently Marvel-y enough, it will never explain, I don't think it will, maybe I shouldn't say never, Siths, absolutes, but they will have a very hard time explaining in-universe why Coulson and nobody else who has died. Just
because... Go ahead.
I was going to say, because Coulson's not special. Like, he's special
yeah.
to us, because we know him, and we saw his backstory, that he collected Captain America baseball cards,
no.
and that we know who he is. So he's special to us. But in the universe, he's just another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Like,
no,
there's nothing special about Coulson that would...
But there is.
But there isn't, though. like there is now because he's in charge of...
Exactly. But see, look at it like from the Harley Quinn point of view. She didn't exist before Batman the Animated Series. She was so popular in that comic, in that cartoon, that they brought her into the comic books. And now she's so popular. She never existed until they created her for the cartoon. Now, here's another character. X-23, the Wolverine clone, the chick. She is his daughter, in a way. And she started off in the X-Men... X-Men cartoon. One of the more recent ones. They brought her over into the comics. Again, she's a translation, a huge, very popular character. Coulson, to me, is like that. He started in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they're starting to translate him into the cartoons now. He was in the Spider-Man, whatever, cartoon.
Yeah.
And but Coulson started, like Harley and like X-23, she started in another media. She started in the cartoon, not the cartoons, but in this case, the movies. And he became very popular, and so the people loved him. So they made him important. So that's what's cool about him.
But you see, I understand all that, but that's actually not what I was saying. I know that he's super popular, which is why they brought him back from an out-of-universe perspective. But from an in-character perspective, examining S.H.I.E.L.D.'s motives for bringing Coulson back, there is no reason for it, because Coulson is just a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Like,
we don't know.
I don't think they can explain. They can, because there, like, lots of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents died in the Avengers, and theoretically, they're all still dead. Like, they didn't bring back any of them. They brought back Coulson, and the reason they brought back Coulson is because we, as an audience, liked him, not because it made sense in character.
Well, but that's the whole point. The mystery of Coulson and why he was brought back can be, we don't know if it was a good reason or not.
I don't
we,
think as an audience, explain that part. I think that's not going to make sense when they finally reveal.
That's the reason why I really want it to be something along the lines of, like, he's an experiment.
Yeah, maybe.
It's,
like,
it's not that he's special. It's that he was someone who died, and they felt that they owned him enough that they could just play with him and see what happened.
And he represented the recruit, like the perfect recruiter kind of agent. Go ahead, Liv.
Lily, you finish your thought.
Well, I just feel like that would explain why he seems, like, so much more put together now. Like, he seems to be working on autopilot almost, where it's just like, I am doing these things, and not everybody agrees with my systems, but I am doing it my way. It's like, I feel that they are seeing what he's going to do now. Like, they brought him back, and now it's run an experiment that's running its course.
So you feel that he's not the same Coulson from the movies?
I'm hoping that and this is going back to, like, this is what I'm hoping is going to be the thing, is that he is either, like, they literally brought him back to life, or they made him into a robot, or, like, they took what he was and they augmented him. That's my hope.
Well, that would explain why he's so much more badass now. In fact,
he's not more badass. See, that's
totally
the thing.
He's
with a different... Okay, are you the same person at work as you are here?
I don't think that actually...
When you are working, I don't know if you are.
I am working, but I see where you're going, but I don't think it applies.
Okay. I'm just saying he's the leader in this group, right? So he has to take a different voice as a supervisor. I used to be a supervisor at a job. The way I acted to those people that I was in charge of was completely different me than I am right here, for example. You know, I just think that he's a different person depending on his role.
That's fair. I feel like if you make him into an experiment, that would give a really good reason as to why they specifically brought him back from the standpoint of S.H.I.E.L.D. as an organization. And it's like, I like the idea of them augmenting him or creating some sort of, like, I mean, I don't know exactly what it would be, but...
How many episodes do you think it'll take before we get an answer for that? Because Joss Whedon has a tendency to do these... the new Doctor Who, for example, when they brought it back, Russell T. Davies actually said he was using Joss Whedon and his style as an archetype for the big bad at the end and the whole way that he builds up to it. Do you feel that maybe by the end of this first season we'll have the answers to that subplot about Coulson, or do you think it'll carry over?
I think it'll take time.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're not going to answer that in the first season. Maybe the first season,
you don't think it'll even by the end finale? Kind
of? Just my guess. Maybe they will, just because they might get canceled. You know, because
Whedon doesn't usually make us wait too long. He usually gets to the point by the end of a. He does each arc just, and this is just if they're going by Whedon style. He usually does it season by season.
Yeah, well, the way that I would do it is that I would have this season have its own arc, and then at the end of this season, basically him finding out that he did die. And so then the next season can be about him finding out what was S.H.I.E.L.D. up to and what is he.
That's possible. I mean, and maybe he becomes a bad guy and has to kind of pull back. I don't know.
There's all kinds of possibilities here. My original point was just that in this new Coulson seems way more confident than the old one was, and way more able to predict everything that's going to happen. And also, he can matrix dodge van doors. Like, you know, that was a thing. If you notice when the super strong guy kicks the van door off the van, it flies at Coulson, and he does a matrix dodge backwards.
When he dropped that gun, he seemed very confident that that the character wasn't gonna.
I don't think he's the same character, and I do think they could explain it via his resurrection method, either because he's not actually the same person, or because the process changed him in some fashion. That's all distinct possibility.
You have a good point, because he claims he doesn't remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So if it changed him, why would it change him if he doesn't remember? See, that's a conundrum right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I would love it if he was a cyborg. That would be awesome. Like, they were like, okay, we have this guy. We have his brain enough intact that we can copy his intelligence into a robot. It's like, that would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I'd buy that.
I can't think of any, I know one of the show notes you have is about talking about how the comparison to the comics, but I can't, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has started its own hybrid of some of the stuff was from the Ultimates. Some of it is from the, you know, what they call the 616 universe, the Prime universe, such as Nick Fury being from the Ultimates. But Coulson being unique, we can't guess because he is a creation of the movies. They can do whatever they want, and we can't. They're not taking from something in the comics to try to decide how they're going to interpret it. This is all new territory. So. Joss Whedon even said these characters he wanted to have, you know, it's connected to the movies and it's connected to the Marvel Universe, but it's these characters in this show, they have to have their own thing. So we can't guess exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, they might borrow, and they have already mentioned things like Journey into Mystery. They made little nods to Extremis and things like that, but we don't know how much they're going to do for Liberties.
Yeah. Now, all right. So another note on the cast that is not a main character. I really liked J. August Richard as Mike Peterson. Mm. I was actually very disappointed that he didn't join the crew at the end. I thought he was
going. He might.
Maybe he will in the next episode. We don't know.
Well, not the next episode, but he might end up showing up later.
Maybe, because I really liked him, and I mean, frankly, this cast is really white, and they could use a little not white. I mean, we do have two Asian women, and I don't want to discount them.
Sky Asian, or what is she?
Sky is a mixed heritage. Her mother is Asian. Her father is Caucasian. So I don't want to discount them. But of a cast of six, we have four white people. It feels like we could do with a little bit of diversity. I like the gender balance. I'm excited about that. You know,
yeah,
it's about.
There is a good, you know what? It's exactly almost exactly even. It is exactly.
Yeah,
even.
It's three and three is what it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I expect from Whedon at this point, because the whole Whedon team. Because I should say, there's not just Joss behind this, right? Like, there's a bunch of different people, but they're all kind of his production.
But Whedon does have a huge influence on it, because he even said in the interviews, you know, even though he's not there controlling every little detail, they're taking their inspiration for how he does his stuff.
Right, and so I really liked the way Richards was playing that character. Like, I bought him as a father in a desperate situation, trying to do what was right while he was losing his mind.
Yes.
So
I agree with you.
Props to that.
Now, I'm seeing him again.
Do we have any final thoughts about the cast before we move on to talk about the story?
I was really excited to see Ron Glass.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mentioned him earlier when I was talking about the scientist who was mentioning that Coulson to Marie. Can I just say about Colby Hill? Colby Hill. Colby as Maria Hill. We talked about this in the Facebook comments. You know, I'm not going to get into this as a huge thing, but I like her, but I don't know how much she's going to be in the show. Maybe after this season, when she finishes How You Met Your Mother or whatever, next season, from what they're saying, she might have a bigger role because she's freed up as an actress.
Yeah.
Because she's all for continuing her role as Maria Hill. I don't particularly think she's awesome, but she's not bad either. So I have no problem with the connection to the movies. That was the only face besides Coulson that was from the movies.
I actually, when I heard they were making a show, like, very first, like, before we knew about Coulson, I actually thought that Maria Hill was going to be the main character, because...
maybe next season.
Because in the movie, in the Avengers movie, she gets a lot of screen time for a character that basically...
She's a major... You would be surprised, because she and Fury are... Maria Hill is a very huge character in Marvel right now. She's
right.
She's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, she's Tony Stark's... Well, not Tony Stark, but... She's always been, when it comes to S.H.I.E.L.D., from the point of the Civil War onward, she's part of any association you have when it comes to S.H.I.E.L.D., so...
Sure, but my point is that in the movie, she has a lot of screen time for a character that basically doesn't do anything. Like,
yeah.
None of her scenes, if you took her out of them, would really have turned out any different.
Right.
So that was why I thought they were gearing her up to be in the television show, in some kind of spinoff.
I've been hearing that they're going to bring Hawkeye in and recast Jeremy, whatever his name is, because of the fact that, well, not only for difficulties they were having with him as an actor, but because they want to have a character who they can take from the films as a hero and bring him into the small screen. But that's just a rumor, so don't hold me to that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that.
I definitely wasn't in love with Hawkeye, so I'm not... Yeah. I'm not going to rebel if they do that, but I'm not really looking forward to it. Now, if they want to bring Black Widow in, I would be super soaked, or psyched, excuse me.
There's a big thing when it comes to the whole rights thing, when it comes to the movies to the TV.
Sure.
This is where it gets tricky. This is a crossover show to the movies, and Avengers 2, and...
They probably don't have enough money to pay Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, they do.
It has nothing to do with the money, honestly. It has to do with the... because it's Disney. They can pay... They're rich. Disney can pay whoever. It's got nothing to do with them. Take the money out of the equation. It has to do with the legality about rights to movies, to TV, believe it or not.
Hmm.
It's also that, like, a lot of actors are very particular about whether they're going to be TV or movie actors.
Right.
So you have to be able to broker a deal with them of, like, this. I'll make it worth your while to be in a series instead of being in major films.
But you also have actors right now who are excited at the whole potential of being involved in this Marvel cinematic thing. Like, Colby even said on David Letterman, I was watching an interview, these people are actually, they're excited to be just part of the whole process
mm-hmm.
of happening with this whole change now, because Marvel is changing television. This is historical, what's happening right now with the whole, S.H.I.E.L.D. is just the beginning. They're bringing in that chick from the Captain America, I forget her name, Agent Peggy Carter, or whatever?
Something like that.
Yeah, they're starting to change. This is just the beginning. They're starting to, they're kind of, the way television and films interact is going to start to change. It's just a matter of figuring out the legality issues.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's possible. I don't know. We'll see. But, all right, I want to move on and talk about the story.
Okay.
Because there's a bit of an interesting thing here. Mainly, because there's an interesting moral discussion that's going on here. And it's sort of maybe, I don't know if poorly timed, but interestingly timed, because we've got the, you know, Sky and the Rising Tide. And I don't know if the Rising Tide is a group or if it's just her. But regardless, they sort of represent WikiLeaks.
I got the impression it was just her. But yeah, go ahead.
And then you've got S.H.I.E.L.D., which is, you know, the big government agency that doesn't want WikiLeaks putting stuff on the Internet.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting, and obviously the show was in production before the whole Edward Snowden thing happened. But that, you know,
was it?
That yeah, it was. This was back in like this show was back like in 2012 was when they started putting this in production.
Okay.
So this has been around for a while, but that kind of throws it into even starker relief. And it's sort of funny in this episode that they portray like the rising tide as being like, and Sky as being like well-meaning but kind of is like misinformed. Like, she means well, she's trying to do the right thing, but she's really just messing everything up for S.H.I.E.L.D., which are the people who are really trying to protect you from the bad guys. Which I think is funny, because in the Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D. wanted to blow up New York to stop aliens from blowing up New York.
No, S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't.
No, those guys, in the shadow are S.H.I.E.L.D. They're just not Nick Fury. Like, Nick Fury is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., but those guys are his bosses. They're still part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
So they wanted to blow up New York to stop New York from being blown up. So, like, the idea that S.H.I.E.L.D. can be trusted to protect people is laughable. And I don't think that the characters know that. It would be really funny if they found that out, like, you know, two or three seasons in, and they were like, oh, God, we've been working for the wrong people this entire time.
They've had these same issues in the comics, too, believe it or not. So, I mean...
Maybe they did. I'm sure they did. I think it's funny that in this episode, they basically, they're just like, hey, you know, we've got rising tide, and... they're kind of a pain. Why they gotta, you know, put everything on the internet? We gotta, you know, why all this freedom of information? That's so irritating.
I'll wait till you guys say something before I...
Lillian, do you want to talk about that?
Well, I was wondering what you thought about the opening scene where... Well, it's not really the opening scene. It's like after he's pulled out of France, mm-hmm. like he and the lady are talking about what S.H.I.E.L.D. does. And it just was like... Like, I didn't analyze it, like, very deeply, but it seemed a little weird, because it's like, you do realize what we do, right? And it's like, yes, we do these things. I am an agent.
Yeah, that was almost like the audience introduction, or reintroduction, I guess.
Although, you know, another thing that I want to pull out of that particular conversation that I also think is strange is he mentions, we protect people from news they aren't ready to hear, which is like... That's like UFO conspiracy crap right there. I mean, because, like, traditionally speaking, if you're an intelligence agency, there are two reasons to keep things secret. One is the more viable of the two, which is you don't want bad guys finding out about this information, because if they found out about this specific piece of information, they might do something bad with it, which is, you know, why we keep nuclear bombs secret, right? It's why you can't go download the plans to build a nuclear bomb, because we don't want everyone who can, you know, gather some plutonium running around with nuclear bombs. And the other reason is that people won't like you if you release this information, which is why the CIA for so long denied having anything to do with overthrowing the Iranian government back in, like, the 50s. Because, you know, generally overthrowing people's governments is considered rude, and they didn't want anyone to find out about this. But now we have option three, which is, it's not that this news is inherently dangerous to anybody, but we would freak right out if we found out about it. That would just it would blow our minds.
One of the things about Area 51, the whole, and I'm only using this analogy because it kind of goes along with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
One of the explanations that the and this is supposedly from the people who were at Area 51 and leaked information about what happened back in 1947, was that during Roswell, is that if we knew the truth that there was a greater power than us. The people would freak out because they can't handle the knowledge, the thought that we can't be prepared for what could happen, you know, that we're not ready for a sudden strike from a superior power, you know, that we can't, you know, the fear of it would overshadow our everything and cause anarchy. And I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has the same philosophy. You know, if you're going to reveal that, obviously, to the public, that there are superpowered beings out there. There are green monsters. There are rage monsters. There are gods. There are, you know, all this other stuff out there that, you know, aliens coming through portals, as they put it. We have to suddenly make the public aware that we're on top of it, and we always have been. That's the purpose that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s trying to kind of catch up with right now with the events of what happened in the aftermath of the movie. Is they've always been there since they, you know, that's the whole point of the whole Peggy Carter minisode, and what they're trying to show is that from the point of the cube and everything happening back in Captain America, that we've been preparing for supernatural things to happen, but now that the public's been forced to be seeing it, and they can't hide it, they have to suddenly come out with a kind of an answer for it and say, well, don't worry, we've been there the whole time, and we've been aware, and we're ready for it, and we're prepared to protect all of you. So S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of trying to scramble right now in the show to show the world, don't panic.
Yeah.
That's my take.
See, I find that logic really funny because because it's like to say that we would freak out if we found out that there was a higher being that like had power over us and at any point could strike, considering the fact that so many people and like I go so far as to say that the majority of people believe in God, like, you know.
Do they?
Like, considering the fact that, you know, our government and the media kind of acts like being a non-Christian is, like, really, you know, weird and not something that's normal. Like, that's why I assume it's the majority.
Well, at least the majority will say yes if you ask them.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not actually like weird for us to believe in a higher power that's going to strike us at any point. Like, for me, that's a weird concept, but I do understand that other people buy into that. So them being surprised when it's like, no, there's another thing that could jump out at you. It's like, you're really going to freak out over that when you feel that, when you believe in a being that, like, just flooded everybody because he was angry at us? I mean, why freak out now?
Well, there's something to be said for the difference between an abstract belief in God and a literal belief in aliens that will ruin your day. But I would also point out that everyone knows about the aliens. It's too late for them to cover that up. So right now, all they're actually doing is covering up the people who have our backs from the aliens. So what we have here is a situation where everyone on Earth thinks we're completely helpless before the aliens. But, you know... But
they can't hide it anymore, so they're trying to show that we've been ready and we've been on top of this the whole time.
See, but that's not the implication I got. I was pretty sure from what they were saying that what S.H.I.E.L.D. does is run around and cover up superheroes. And so
they did.
You know, we don't
you're right. That's
we don't know that Thor, like nobody on Earth knows about Thor because S.H.I.E.L.D. won't tell us about him.
No, they do know about him. The whole world saw Thor.
Right, but we don't know
he exists.
Right, we like there's toys for him, but they don't know what he is. Like they just know.
Oh, right, that guy said, that agent dude. He said, see, that's how much we don't know about that's how much we don't care about these characters. I can't off the top of my head, I can't think of any of their names except Melinda May. And that's not good. You know, Buffy. You know,
he's talking about Ward, right?
What was that guy's name? The head agent in the beginning. See, if I don't look at the page, I don't remember his name. That's not a good thing. Okay, Ward.
Yeah.
He says something like Thor's not technically a god. Yeah, he is actually, but he's just, that's the spin that obviously that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been given.
Well, have they? Because the way they described it made it sound like they just and the way that Sky talked made it sound like they just clamped down on any news about superheroes. So it really seems like what happened is enough people recorded the Battle of New York on their smartphones that there's toys of them. But nobody knows really what they were, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is, like, keeping it all hush-hush, because we're not ready to know that. It would freak us out.
How would people know about Thor, though? Other than the fact that they see pictures of him in the Battle of New York, obviously they had to have done some kind of off-screen publicity thing, because, so Ward, you're right, because Ward talked about it from a S.H.I.E.L.D. point of view, not from a public point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure... Like that the government of the United States, and I guess S.H.I.E.L.D. is connected to the UN, hasn't issued a public statement saying, all right, guys, so here's what happened. There were some aliens, and they invaded us, but we were allied with these different aliens who are the Asgardians, and Thor is their representative, and they came, and they have our backs. So, you know, you don't have to
panic. In the comics, though, they do actually go to that extent to where they make disclaimers like that to the public. They have no choice. But, I can see where the show is trying to...
Just
kind of find a balance.
The idea that there is news that's, like, so weird, not that it's necessarily, like, dangerous or scary. It's just weird, and we would, like, know who knows.
It's the same exact thing as Star Trek. We can't go down and tell the aliens that, you know, we're aliens, because that would break
their brains.
Bring
the Prime Directive into this?
It is Prime Directive. It's straight up Prime Directive. It is. It's
to your
exactly
own people,
the same.
Though? Yeah.
But it is. It's like we're protecting people from an idea that's too painful for them to...
All right, yeah. In that sense, she's right. even if it is to your own people.
I'll demur on this.
Whether it's right or wrong.
Why are you saying
I'm not ready to have this discussion.
No, why are you so dismissing, like, no, this isn't, like, the Prime Directive? Like, this is exactly the same as the Prime
Directive. Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to... She's right. S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to... they're trying to make sure that the information that's leaked to the general public isn't so overwhelming that it causes anarchy. I mean, that's the whole point of this kind of control of information is anarchy control. They don't want to lose control of the population.
How would the population knowing about Thor cause anarchy?
Well, see, that's exactly...
Because look at the whole concept of all the religions that are out there, and they suddenly... You only believe what you believe with any of these religions because you believe it. When you actually are forced to see it, the controversy and the chaos that's going to erupt from actually seeing proof that one of these beliefs is true and how to interpret it, that's too much.
I've already told you, Orin, in the episode that we had about the Prime Directive, that, like, I don't agree with this concept that, like, it would break people's brains if they knew the truth. I'm against the entire concept of us believing and there being a dangerous information, so I'm with you there, but it's the same concept that they're pushing.
They're being forced to see something that is forcing... It's not done in steps. It's done, like... It's like they're forced down their mouth. They're like... They see Thor hammering, calling lightning. I mean, what are they supposed to think? You know, it's like all these religious groups, whether it be Muslim or Christian or whatever, they suddenly see this pagan dude come down and with a hammer, and he brings down lightning, and he's, you know, that by itself can cause weeks, months, and years of controversy just among the religions that exist right now, let alone the truth behind what's going on, you know. So
All right, here, we're going to pause for just a moment, and then we will come back and continue our discussion.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
And we're back. So what were we talking about before we broke? We were still discussing Thor, right? Okay. I will say the one thing about Thor is that I don't actually know how much controversy Thor would cause because the Asgardian religion is no longer practiced. Like, it's not an actual faith anymore. Now it's just myth.
That's the whole point. Yeah, go ahead, Lily.
Well, it's just that, like, you know, it's supposed to be myth. It's not supposed to be real. So then all the other religions are like, shoot, we got the Bible.
The point is that all religions are based upon, you know, what your parents tell you, right? And except for the people who convert to a religion as adults. But let's go back to the basics. You know, if your parents, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist or a Christian or a Jew, whatever the case, if your parents teach you and you're brought up believing something, okay, and you're watching television, like these people in this world, and they see Thor calling down thunder, and they're trying to explain this, it's going to cause, no matter what anybody says, if you want to be realistic about it as a writer, it's going to cause problems. But you either have to address it or you're just going to have to skim over it. The point is that you can't do it and have this guy claiming he's Thor, the god of thunder, and not have some kind of a controversy. It just isn't possible.
I don't think it would actually be that big a deal. World religions have survived plenty of things that prove that everything they said was wrong. Like,
but that's the point. It would cause...
That happens all the time, and they're just fine. They would just come up with some explanation as to how he fits in to their pantheon.
Religion, exactly.
There would be some kind of, you know, some people would probably be mad. But it's hardly world-ending.
I think that locally, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I think locally what we would do to deal with it is basically be like, oh, well, it's just some alien technology because we're just attacked by aliens. That's convenient.
Alien technology.
And he's a jerk trying to get us to worship him, and he's an idiot for not choosing anyone, like, recent.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it would cause this huge, like, you know,
you're wrong, dude.
Crisis of belief, because I mean, there have been plenty of times where there have been like huge like touchstones that religions have been based around
That no, not where false. Somebody calls down lightning, though. Come on. I mean, you've never turned on the TV and seen a guy call down lightning. And
but this is a world where you can open portals to other dimensions with technology. I mean,
but that's the thing.
It's not that impressive.
New. That's my point. This is all new. From the point of view of the show, everything that's going on with the world being exposed to this stuff is just happened.
Right, but it's
the Hulk. Everybody,
it's too late
happened.
To suppress any of the like stuff that happened in New York. Right, it's too late to suppress that. Everybody already knows.
Right.
So really, all they're doing is suppressing the parts that might make people feel better about it, which is that we have this group of people on our side. Like, that's all they're doing. They're actually just, you know, they're covering up the good.
It's actually worse, believe it or not, than if they continuously saw things, because the word of, just like the internet, if you show one glimpse of something, just as we all know, everybody starting to pipe in on their own opinion of what's going to happen on the internet about something they saw is going to carry more twists than the actual truth if they actually carried it over and continued to show you what was going on, whether it's a, you know, whatever it is that they show, there's no, you know, I'm just generalizing here.
Yeah. No, you know, I agree. And I think that's why it's so funny that S.H.I.E.L.D. is portrayed as being the good guys and the Rising Tide are portrayed as well-meaning but incorrect.
I might be completely off base, but I always thought the S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to be shady anyway.
Maybe they are supposed to be. I don't know. Coulson doesn't seem to think so.
Well, all of the government agency types like that are going to be, from their point, it's about a point of view. It's like, from their point of view, they're doing the right thing. From the point of view of somebody else, they're not. So, I mean...
I mean, really, from the point of view of our audience, I didn't feel that S.H.I.E.L.D. portrayed in the movies was like, and here are the golden boys of the universe. I feel that we are supposed to look at them with some skepticism.
Well, see, that was actually the thing, was that in Avengers, you had characters questioning what S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing.
But you don't have the character. You have
right, but
little...
she's portrayed to be wrong. Like,
no,
within the
exactly. You guys, that is exactly the controversy between Marvel and DC that the fans have had as far as which group is better. DC, because the whole what is a true superhero? I mean, the Marvel comics are always more realistic, okay? But that doesn't mean it's better. It means it's realistic in terms of they're not like – are they heroes? Or are they like have their own agenda? DC has always been like we're the goody-goodies. You know, but that's how we are. And how do we fit in? So people have always been like, that's been the whole thing about the difference between DC Comics and Marvel. What you guys just said is that that skepticism, like she said, Marvel, all the characters have flaws, conflicts. They're more realistic. They're not all like the Silver Age where it's like you see a bad guy. I'm the superhero. I'm going to beat the bad guy. End of story. And everybody claps. But DC has, or at least they tried to.
Right, but my point was just that if you look at the
I'm just disagreeing with you because I don't think that they're supposed to be put in the light of they're just right and she's wrong. Like it's from like S.H.I.E.L.D. they're going after her as if she's the bad guy, but obviously from the audience perspective, she's written to be a chipper, like good goody two shoe citizen. She's not suspicious. She's not evil. Like,
are you talking about Sky?
Yeah. But her arguments are weak and easily shut down. And against her, we have Mr. Phil Right About Everything Coulson. And, like, we're clearly supposed to believe him. And maybe
I have a feeling that he's going to be wrong.
Maybe
like,
he will be. Who knows?
Much more like Joss Whedon to set us up to think, like, oh, we're part of this big organization that, like, is so right and we're doing everything the right way. And then turning around and being like, oh, wait. Like, what big organization of Joss Whedon is ever not evil?
Sure. And that's why I was so surprised. I mean, because, you know, we got Watchers Council and we got, I don't know about the powers of the Bee. I haven't gotten that far into Angel yet. But we got Watchers Council and we got the Alliance. And I mean, sure, that like most of Joss Whedon's stories, the good guys are anti-establishment or anti-authority, which is why it seems so surprising to me in this episode.
I'm surprised, though, from the perspective, like this is supposed to be about S.H.I.E.L.D. So, of course, we have to start.
Yeah, so you got to.
Good guys.
You're right. You got to take into account that Joss isn't playing with his own universe. He's playing with the Marvel's universe.
Sure.
He's taking his style and he's dragging in an established history from someone else. So that's where it's going to be a little bit different.
Like, I just feel that they're probably going to be evil. They're just not going to start out in the first episode. They're evil, guys. Because that's boring.
Yeah, maybe.
We're going to find out that they're evil later.
Yeah,
but it's, again, it's not Joss's playground exactly. He's taking Marvel's 50s, 60s, 70 years of history, and he's playing with it. So that's the difference between Buffy and Angel and what we're seeing is with Buffy and Angel, he created and had total control over what was going on in that universe. We know somewhat from the, I mean, for people that follow the comics, that what is the general feel, whether they reinterpret it or not, of what's supposed to be going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. or Hydra or AIM or whatever. But Joss Whedon can only do so much, and that's...
I don't feel like he's going to be doing that much differently, though, because as your point, you made the point that they are much more realistic, and so with this organization, like, it doesn't need to be that all of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just a corrupt organization, but there's going to be people who are going to be corrupt within it. Like, I just don't see, like, in the universe as it is, it's not really interesting for us to just have S.H.I.E.L.D. as a good guy, so I just, I don't feel like, oh man, S.H.I.E.L.D. is all good and is just going to be like that for the rest of the series. I feel that that's really against how the world is and how against how Whedon is as a writer.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I hope that's what it turns out to be. That's just the message I'm getting from the first episode. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that they'll get more interesting later. It was just interesting.
I just feel that it's it's really black and white laying it out for you of, like, we're starting on our first foot being, like, thinking that everything's okay and that it's supposed to do plot twist. You know? Like, I don't understand where the surprise is coming from, I guess, is what I'm saying.
All right.
I guess it depends on how much influence Joss Whedon has on this show.
Mm-hmm. On a practical note, they're going to be really sorry that they introduced that super truth serum later, because I guarantee you they're going to have a scene later where they'll have captured some dude, and they'll need information out of him, and they're going to be like, oh, we probably should have just used the super truth serum, shouldn't we?
She didn't get anything out of him, though.
But here's the thing. You did know that they used that scene, right, as a... She took off her jacket to show off her cleavage. She knew that he was into her now after the truth serum. So she used it. And obviously, they're setting up a sexual tension. There's no doubt about that. We all know.
No, but I mean, they introduced a truth serum where they stick him with it, and he spilled everything immediately.
But he didn't give her anything useful or interesting. Like, she came out afterwards, like, basically saying, he told me about how he went around the world and stuff like that. It wasn't anything like, oh, I found out all the secrets about you guys.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah, other than telling her she was hot. I mean, that's about all. And her using it. I mean, other than that,
I'm pretty sure that was just, those were the questions that she was asking. Like, I'm pretty sure that the implication of that
they set it up so that he could spill the beans to her, whatever she needed to know. And it's nonsense to believe that the only thing that she did with that was try and poke around and find out, are you upset about your grandma knowing about this? Like, I'm pretty sure she did try to find out more about him and really didn't get much out.
What she found out is that, and again, see, this is why I think the show is trying to tell me that S.H.I.E.L.D. are the good guys, is because she clearly, the whole point of that sequence is that Coulson says, ask him anything you want, this will prove we're not evil. And she comes out apparently convinced, which suggests that she got, you know, she asked him a bunch of questions about his operations, and she was satisfied with the answers. Not
well,
that she couldn't get anything.
Even in the comics, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not, believe it or not, they're not, like the Men in Black, they're not represented in any way as being, it all depends on who's in charge and what's going on with that individual. Whether it's Nick Fury, Tony Stark, or whoever. It literally depends on who they place in charge, whether... there was one point when S.H.I.E.L.D. was placed in charge of Osborn, Norman Osborn, from the bad guy from Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Avengers, he took over for a while, and they became the Dark Avengers. He renamed S.H.I.E.L.D. into Hammer, and it became this evil, like, whole story arc that finally got overthrown. But it always depends on who's in charge, literally. So S.H.I.E.L.D. is a group that's... They're fun. It's like Captain America's shield. They are literally, no pun intended. They are literally there for the reason they say. However, they can be manipulated for wrongdoing by who is in charge. And that's one of the things Marvel's hammered into our brains in the comics, which I think is going to carry over into the show, is whoever has the power dictates what their agenda is. And that's where we have to interpret it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's legit.
I didn't feel that she was satisfied of like, oh, I have found out everything about your organization and now I can trust you.
Right.
I got the impression out of her was that she felt comforted by the fact that he had put her in a position of power. Like, she thought that she was going to be interrogated and instead...
Yeah, he empowered her.
Yeah. Next. So, like, that was what gained her trust, not the information she actually got out of, because she didn't get anything.
Right. I'm confused, though. If she didn't get anything, I don't understand why she was convinced by that sequence.
Because
he used reverse psychology.
Hmm?
He used reverse psychology on her.
She's very easy to manipulate, then.
I wouldn't say that. I think that was a good display of trust. She saw he had the drug... Right, and he injected that dude, and she knew that the agent was all hardcore. And I think Coulson used the perfect timing and I think that's why Ward wasn't more pissed at Coulson. He knew what he did in hindsight, and he kind of just let it go because it was actually a great strategy. It was actually a truthful and sincere strategy, but I think it worked because of how he did it.
Like, she seemed more satisfied at the fact that she humiliated the guy who was so, like, you know, being badass a second ago. Like, that's what I got out of it.
She was in a position where, because Ward was being very asshole-ish to her, and sorry, you can edit that out, but he was being all, well, we can do this the hard way or the easy way or whatever, and then Coulson turned it around to try to gain trust, and I think that the way Coulson timed it, using Ward as his sort of avatar for that moment, Skye was convinced that he was being sincere. Because Coulson really was. See, this is the tricky part about why I love that character. Coulson was being sincere. He really wasn't trying to do like a duplicitous strategy.
Well, you say that, but then you said that it was reverse psychology because...
well,
because, if she didn't actually learn anything... then what we've learned about this is that Skye is incredibly shallow because she went from, I don't want to help you because I think you're bad, to, oh, I got to lord it over this guy I didn't like. Now I want to help you.
Because of Coulson.
Didn't actually learn anything new about them other than that they're willing to humiliate their own people to try to turn an agent. And it's like, I was positive that she pumped him for information and that was enough to convince her that S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't the evil, repressive organization that she thought it was, which implied she had to have learned something about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Maybe.
And the whole reason I originally brought this up was that this is supposedly a super effective truth serum, and I just think they're going to have a point later where they're going to need to interrogate somebody and conveniently forget that they have it.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced it's very effective.
Well, that reminds me of Torchwood. That formula they had to make people forget and then tell you how.
Did they? Yeah, probably. I don't know. I didn't watch much of Torchwood.
You could be right, though.
It
could be a scene that we didn't see where she asked him some questions that we didn't, see on camera.
If she didn't, I don't understand how that scene was supposed to have worked.
Well, I just felt that Coulson, because we were seeing an example of how throughout the movies and translated over here, that he was so kind of sweet. I don't know if that's the right word to use. But I don't know what other word to use for Coulson. He's very unique. Mm-hmm. He gets you to like him because he's just a likable guy.
Yeah, all right.
He's quirky.
He definitely is. And he does have the best classic Whedon line ever, which is the "Welcome to level 7." I'm sorry, it was really dark in that corner.
You guys know, I don't know if you guys know this about the whole shawarma line that came from Buffy.
I did not know that, but
there was a line that Xander said in one episode about the whole, I want to try shawarma. That was the whole reason why he put it in the end of the Avengers.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing Whedon would do.
Yeah.
All right. I think we have to wrap this up.
Okay.
So my general consensus is that I enjoyed it, and I want to see where it goes from here, just to see what direction the story develops in. Lillian?
High hopes.
Sorry, you go first, then.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, I'm not psyched, but it is, it could become interesting.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it is exactly how I feel. We never talked about the comic comparison, but I'm not gonna, I mean, I know you're wrapping it up, but, as far as the quick comparison, the comics compared to what's going on in the series is not too far off the mark as far as how S.H.I.E.L.D. operates. So the fans love that I think they've got a lot of room for I think they're doing a good job of keeping the universe that they created in the movies consistent with the TV show. So they're bringing in elements from the TV show to make the fans happy, but they're not they're keeping their own consistency with their own, with the universe they set up in the Marvel movies, you know, Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, and Avengers. And they're, I think for that part, that crossover, I'm very curious to see how it's going to carry forward going into the future with the new movies coming out. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing to bring over from past movies, but when your show is going on at the same time that you got future Marvel Cinematic Universe movies coming out, that's the part that makes me wonder how are they going to, like Winter Soldier's coming out, you know, Captain America 2, and then Thor the Dark World. I'm curious as to how they're going to balance that out and whether there will be any crossovers. I mean, everybody's wondering about that. So that to me is interesting. See how they're going to handle that.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good note to bring this to a conclusion on. Thank you for listening. We will get back to our regularly scheduled Star Trek broadcast shortly. And until then, this is All Things Trek signing off.